today's show is going to be just a conversation between two candidates running for City Council District 11. We have the current incumbent, Stacey Gilmore, and the challenger, Christine Alonso, in studio today. And so we have a great show for you today. We're going to talk about some of the issues, concerns, find out why they're running, and what makes them click. And so it's just exciting to be with all of you today. And so in studio, I have Christine. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here today, and thank you for the invite.
Thank you so much. Stacey, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon. Doing well.
Good. Well, thank you so very much for committing to be here today and whatnot. So, because Stacey is the incumbent, we'll start with Stacey with the intro. But since you are the challenger, we will at the end, start with you at the conclusion and give you the opportunity for that piece. Okay? So we'll go ahead and start with Stacey with your intro.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm honored to be here. And we've gotten so much accomplished in District 11 over the last 3.5 years with the community. And, you know, early on when I came into office, I wanted to make sure that we were including community voice. So that's the most important part. And it should be the most important part of any local government, position. And so we early on came in and the community prioritized affordable housing, workforce development, of course, improving our food access options, and then closing our transportation and mobility gaps. And, you know, we worked really hard to make sure that the expansion of 56th Avenue was on the Elevate Bond package. We also got the new Green Valley Ranch indoor swimming pool, which is a $15 million project on that bond as well. And so getting those amenities for the neighborhood, but we also, at this point in time, Jose, have 3 national grocers who are now finally looking at District 11, and we've built those relationships up. I've given a lot of driving tours to developers, to grocers, to retailers, just to start to dispel that myth that folks might have about Montbello and Green Valley Ranch, and to really build that relationship. And I think that fruit is starting to blossom because we've got 3 national grocers looking at the area. And I would be honored to continue on with the community in this position for another 4 years, looking at a large-scale workforce development training center along that tower corridor, or along the Peña corridor, to make sure we've got opportunities for folks to increase their earning potential and build their wealth in our neighborhood.
Thank you so very much. Christine, the same question to you.
Well, my name is Christine Alonso, and I have lived in the Far Northeast Corridor for 30 years. And as someone who has lived there for 30 years, I know how expensive it has gotten to live in the Far Northeast Corridor. Prices are up, housing is up, it's very expensive to live there. A lot of the people who live in that community are renters, and it has gotten so expensive to live. Wages are stagnant, and I do know that there's been a measure at the city council level where they increased wages for workers at DIA, but I think that, you know, it's conceptually a great idea. However, I think we need more than $15 an hour to be able to afford to make ends meet. And I think that in our community, the people that live there are the ones that are feeling that particularly as stronger than in most other communities in Denver. I see that there is a lot of development going on in this district. I don't oppose development, but I do oppose development that does not have the voices of the communities and their interests at heart. And so that is primarily why I'm running in this district, because I see a lot of changes, and many of the changes are not good for our community.
Thank you both so very much. Next question, we'll start with you, Christine. In our particular community, there has been a lot of transition, and our community was predominantly African-American historically and is shifted now to be more predominantly Latino, in particular in that community. As a city council person, what are your goals around being able to collectively bring everybody together and unify that particular, our particular district?
Thank you, Jose. You know, when I first moved to Montbello in 1989, we were one of 2 families on our neighborhood that were Latino. You're absolutely right. It has been a predominantly African-American community. And historically, Montbello was created to kind of put the African-American community out of sight, out of mind, per se. And it was probably in the late 80s when there was a shift in the Latino community moving into this to this area. And there has been, I feel, somewhat of a divide because, you know, culturally we have not been able to educate our communities on just how many issues that we have that are the same. You know, the school-to-prison pipeline affects both African-American and Latino kids. You know, poverty is something that affects both communities, and I think that we need to do a better job in making sure that we are more inclusive with our communities and make sure that we talk about our issues and know that we have the same issues that are affecting our communities.
Stacey, same question to you. The diversity, sure. Unification, how do you make that happen as an elected official?
Yeah, well, you have to live it. You know, my family has lived in Montbello for 25 years. My husband, Scott, and we have three children. And, you know, you embrace it and you talk with folks and you share experiences and your differences become less when you understand how many of the same trials that you're going through. And, you know, having lived out there for a long time and the diversity that I have in my family, you know, I'm half Latina. My husband's Black and Japanese. His family's been out there 40 years. It's how we operate. And really, through my work with Montbello 2020, when I helped co-found that registered neighborhood organization, you know, in 2008, we had started that work to make sure that new folks who were maybe moving to our neighborhood knew what, you know, the community was about, knew our history, knew what we wanted to accomplish together. And it's building those relationships and it's changing behaviors if there's behaviors to be changed, but really having those conversations about institutionalized racism, oppression, how we make sure that we're, you know, empowering our neighborhood voice to really come forward and to shape the neighborhood how they want to see it.
I appreciate that. Stacey, if you had to give yourself a grade, what would your grade be? And what would your three priorities going forward be?
Well, you know, I would give myself an A. We have handled over 900 constituent cases, Jose, since I came into office. And early on, we wanted to have a 95% closed rate. We've got a 98% closed rate. And I've also hosted over 88 community office hours there twice a month, one block of time in Montbello and another block of time in Green Valley Ranch. And that's monthly that we have that. So there's 4 hours available every month for community members to come and talk to me one-on-one. I'm happy to go to them. And the three things that I would like to continue to work on is tying together affordable housing and workforce, because we can build all the housing we want, but if we are not raising the wages of folks working in Denver, we're not going to close that wealth gap. And I'm really interested in the bill 1210 that's going to be heard at the state on Monday, because that could give us the opportunity within local municipalities to start setting our own minimum wage. But we have to have that preemption lifted from the state for us as a city municipality to do that. And so tying together affordable housing and workforce, but closing food gaps, and then, of course, the transportation and mobility, we've got more to do.
Appreciate that. Christine, a little different to you. Same question premise. What would be the grade that you would give Stacey, and what would you do different, and how would you have done that differently to add to your priorities?
You know, I would give Stacey a C, because I'm going to be honest, not everything that she has done in the community has been in the best interest of that community, of our community. I do believe that she has been a rubber stamp for the mayor, and I also believe that she has missed a lot of, and this is pursuant to a CORA request that was done, and I think that as someone that is representing the community, she needs to be more active at city council meetings, and because of her conflict of interest on city council, she should not have to recuse herself because of that conflict of interest. I think that it is important that if you're there to represent the district and the community, that you need to be very active in attending city council meetings. So I would give her a C.
Okay, thank you so much. Next question for you, Christine. Much has been said about your lack of experience in terms of being able to go into this position. What would you say to the individuals that say you lack the experience due to your work history and staying in some of these places to be an effective city council member?
Well, you know, I think that my work history is what gives me the experience. I have run two nonprofits very successfully, the Colorado Latino Leadership and Advocacy Research Organization, where I came in at a time where the organization was 3 months away from closing its doors. When I left, we had over $300,000 in the savings account. I was able to, with the board, sell the building that we had on First and Cherokee, and put it in a location, the organization in a location that was more in line with the demographics of the Latino community, which is Montbello. I know that you see the gentrification that has occurred over here on Broadway, and so I think that it was because of my past experience as a labor director and working on labor union contracts, particularly some very much in the city and county of Denver contracts, where I've learned that there's just a lot of unfairness and bias going into how those contracts are given out to contractors.
Thank you. Stacy, a little bit different, as you were put on the spot in terms of the grade. So now the flip side to you. There's been a lot of conversation regarding the lack of experience regarding Christine. What sets you apart in terms of your experience and why this position better fits you? And what does your experience speak to?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I want to clarify for sure that, Christine, I checked this morning with the custodian of records within the City and County of Denver, which is the City Council Executive Director. You have never submitted a CORA request. So the lack of experience in understanding exactly how the city works, I think it's indicative of where Christine has gone with this CORA request, because basically you had someone pull statistics, which I still question as to their validity. But that is something that you would not get from a CORA request, because a CORA request is subject specific. And then immediately on my email, I don't move or do anything to my emails. So by you using the CORA request, it shows your inexperience and lack of just follow through, because to put that out there is inaccurate. And, you know, I think that we do need to support businesses. We need to strengthen up the Me Be We Be, the minority and women-owned business and disadvantaged businesses, to make sure that we're supporting local-owned businesses. But I believe that, you know, just from that example and then her lack of being in the community and being consistent as far as going to registered neighborhood organization meetings. Last night at the debate, thank you for being honest, but in the last 6 months of running for an elected office, you said last night you have not been to a registered neighborhood organization. I don't understand how you can really lead and be part of the community in an elected position if you're not putting that time in.
Thank you both so very much.
Can I respond to that?
So I'm going to allow you to respond, but I'm going to set some boundaries within this response. You'll be able to respond for 30 seconds, and then you'll be able to respond for 30 seconds, and then we'll move on to the next question to you.
Okay.
Your time.
And you're correct. I personally did not do the CORA request. I consulted with a consultant who did the research, did the CORA request, and was able to do the statistics that you're referring to and come up with those numbers. So it's as accurate as it's going to be, given that we did request the CORA from the City and County of Denver.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on. I think that's at that point. Let's talk about safety in our community. You know, I think we've gone through a lot, and this position doesn't focus on education, right? But the young people, this individual position is responsible for our kids after 4 p.m. till 10 p.m., right? We'll say per se. What is your plan to ensure that young people have an opportunity to be successful? Christine.
I think that given the fact that there is an opportunity gap for our kids, a lot of our schools have been become charter schools. And I think that was a direction in which was not a good direction for the Far Northeast Corridor. Our schools are underperforming. They were underperforming before. They're currently they continue to underperform. And I think part of the problem is that there is not a clear alliance or connection to the public school board member in our community, as we had when Federico Pena was mayor, as well as when Wellington Webb was mayor. There were neighborhood meetings that the city council person had monthly with our with our school board member. And I think that those meetings should continue, or they should start over again, because we need that connection and those conversations with the School of Education board member.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Stacey, same question to you. Yeah. Our young people, between 4 to 10 p.m., they're your responsibility. What's the plan?
Yeah. Well, I take that responsibility 24/7, Jose. And, you know, I've dedicated my entire life with Environmental Learning for Kids, the nonprofit. I co-founded, done that work my entire life. We need to make sure that we're listening to our young people and not making assumptions about what they need. They're very savvy. They know what the gaps are. They know what they need to be successful. And I want to make sure that we're supporting them. And so that's why through my council office, I created the Next Generation Cabinet to really get middle school, high school, and college age students and youth and young people in our neighborhood engaged in the civic process and listening to them and hearing their concerns. And I'm excited to work more with the community around holding Denver Public Schools and our elected board representative accountable to our neighborhood. We need a comprehensive community-led strategic plan that we're going to have true accountability to address the educational disparities and deep-rooted equity issues that we know have occurred and happened in our neighborhood for generations.
Thank you both so much. Next question. Over the last 6 months, the two houses to the right of my, to the left of my house have been broken into. What do you say to homeowners that feel unsafe, in particular in Green Valley Ranch and Montbello, and that they feel like their concerns aren't being taken into account by the Denver Police Department or City Council's office? We'll start with you, Stacey.
Sure. Well, we've been trying to encourage people to, communicate with us. A lot of folks end up putting things on Nextdoor, and Nextdoor is not monitored by the police or my council office. So we need folks to be calling in. We need them to call that non-emergency number, call 911, call my office, because we need to make sure that we're collecting the data that is necessary to make sure that we can warrant and get more police officers, that we can get more public safety out in our neighborhoods. And then we've been encouraging people to start neighborhood watches on their block. Make sure to turn your street lights on. I know it sounds silly, but make sure your doors are locked and your garage door is shut, because that ends up to be a lot of crimes of opportunity. And that's the majority of the break-ins that we're seeing are really crimes of opportunity. But we want to hear from folks, and Neighborhood Watch is one of those tools, and want to work together to make sure that we're ensuring people feel safe in our neighborhoods.
Christine, same question. I know this was a concern that was being brought up to you too around safety. What's your plan for safety?
I think that we need more community policing. I think what we don't have now is a presence of law enforcement in our communities, maybe walking or biking or just being more active in our communities. I know oftentimes that when we do have events, the big event that we have in Montbello yearly.
Event.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in the summertime, the events that we have at the Green Valley Ranch Park. I think that the presence from law enforcement is there in those times, but I think we need better presence when we're not having events. I think we need law enforcement going to schools, talking to kids, having conversations with kids so that kids aren't afraid of police officers. And that was something that I did working with the city and county in Denver while I was the executive director at Clado, is having candid conversations with law enforcement in the elementary schools beginning in the sixth grade so that kids could express their concerns to law enforcement as to why they're fearful. And I think it needs to start there in the schools, where kids are comfortable having conversations and engagement with law enforcement. But also we need to have better community policing so that people see that law enforcement is out there. Everybody loves a firefighter, right? I think we have to make that same adjustment and be more inclusive with law enforcement so that they also get that same, so that people understand that they're not always the bad guy. Totally. Yes, they have to do a lot of bad things and interact in between families, but they're not always the bad guy. They're there to serve and protect, and
that's what
they should be doing.
Yes or no questions. And we'll start with Stacey. Do you support the red flag bill at the state legislature being put forth?
Yes.
Alonzo, Christine, the red flag bill.
Give me a little bit more context.
The red flag bill is the emergency temporary restraining order that could remove the guns from individuals.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Christine Alonzo, do you support Mayor Hancock?
No, I do not.
Councilwoman Gilmore, do you support Mayor Hancock?
Yes.
Do you currently believe that Denver is headed in the right direction? Stacey Gilmore?
Yes.
Ms. Alonzo?
I would say no.
Okay. Do you believe that we currently have an effective plan to create affordable housing as a city? Alonzo?
I do not.
Yes.
So the next question is a piece of history and then the question. So the city of Denver's charter was never created, and was when the city of Denver was created, it was never written within the charter that the city of Denver would be a place that included housing within their charter. And so since that is not included within the city charter and the city is doing what it can, what would be your change to that? So let me rephrase this. The city of Denver can't build all the affordable housing that it needs. It's not building the charter for that. What would you do as a city council member to ensure then that that is happening?
I think the initial thing that I would do is lobby our legislators to repeal Telluride or get rid of Telluride, because I think that's part of the reason why we're not able to hold developers accountable. Once that is done, I would definitely instill some type or of rent control. And when I say there's a rent control, is this huge umbrella of different forms of affordable housing that can be created. Inclusionary zoning is something that I'm a big supporter of, holding developers accountable to a percentage. 20% is what I think is a good number of providing affordable housing units for everything that they develop. One other thing that I do support currently is the transit-oriented development. Although it's fairly new, I would expand on that if, in fact, we have proven to, it has been proven to work.
Ms. Gilmore.
Thank you, Jose. You know, I think we have to really look at it from all angles and really talk with the stakeholders that are involved. It's not only developers, it's nonprofit development companies that develop our affordable housing as well. And before we would make any huge change, I would want to hear from them, because as we know, we're in good times now. It's difficult to live in Denver. We know that. But what's going to happen when we have the next recession and when city services have to be drastically reduced because we just don't have the sales tax revenue coming in to our general fund? I want to make sure that we're not creating a system going forward that's not truly sustainable as a city. And I think that's why it's so important to bring the city partners, the developers, the nonprofit organizations, Denver Housing Authority, so that we can make sure that we've got a sustainable housing system going forward to stabilize our neighborhoods and our families.
I appreciate that. The next section, I'm going to allow you each to ask an individual each question. Please hold your response to 30 seconds. We'll start with Councilman Gilmore.
Thanks, Jose. Christine, during my time in office, I've ensured that Community Voice is present in all conversations with developers. That's precisely why I pushed Mayor Hancock and Community Planning and Development to begin the Neighborhood Planning Initiative in 2017. To date, the community-led initiative has held over 20 public meetings. This plan will ensure that our community's voice is represented in our zoning, which dictates the type of uses we will see for at least the next 20 years. In District 11. How have you been part of this process, this community-wide planning effort with over 20 public meetings, and how do you plan on interacting with developers in our community?
I think that's a really, really good question, because you say, there have been 20 community meetings of which I have not been familiar with, or nearly haven't. I haven't even been invited. And I think that you're well aware that I was the executive director at a 50-year-old Latino nonprofit that serves the Latino community, so I would suspect that I should be on your mailing list to be part of those meetings. And I didn't see anything publicly that was sent out to individuals, and so I see that you're laughing about that. But you know, quite honestly, it's not really a joke. I think that there are a lot of people in our
community. It's interesting, because we continue to email and the invites get declined from
is
the
it my time?
Galaro person.
Sorry, was it my time?
No worries. So let's go ahead and have, let okay. you finish about 10 seconds and let you have you answer your question.
So I actually was looking at the Mont Bello plan that you're referring to, and many I was surprised and taken back because some of the pictures that are currently in that plan are pictures of what they say are in Mont Bello that aren't even part of our community. So I think that there's a lot to think about and look at when we're putting out your literature to make sure that when we do put out that literature, that it is consistent with what we currently have in the community.
What's your question?
I don't really have a question for her at this time.
Okay, perfect. So I want to go ahead and each give you guys an opportunity for closing remarks. And I think this is an opportunity for you to just express to the voters why you are the candidate of choice. And we will start with you, Ms. Alonzo.
You know, I've lived in the Green Valley Ranch, Mont Bello, and now Gateway area for over 30 years. My kids were born and raised all in Mont Bello, the Denver public school system. You know, I have heard from Ms. Gilmore multiple times that I have not been involved and engaged in the community. You know, I will say that part of being a city council person, an elected official, is to be engaged and part of those community meetings. So it is part of your job to go out and be active in the community. And so as a city councilwoman, thank you for at least that effort. But I do want to say, you know, it's unaffordable to live in Mont Bello, Green Valley Ranch, and the DIA area. And people are feeling that crunch. Latinos, African Americans, everybody when I knock on the doors continually say how unaffordable it is, how expensive it has gotten, and how wages have remained stagnant. That is something that we need to take into our top priority, is the affordability of living in our community. Because currently, if we continue down that trajectory, the people that exist and live in that community will be displaced. And that is one of my biggest priorities. That is my biggest priority, is making sure that the voices of the community are being heard as development is going on in this community, and that our wages are increased to a level that are living wages for people, not just wages that affect a certain percentage of individuals for political pondering.
Thank you so much, Ms. Alonzo. A minute and a half.
Well, you know what? We have worked really hard together as a community, and I need to respect the time and the energy that the residents of Mont Bello, Parkfield, High Point, and Green Valley Ranch have put in to making sure that the last 3.5 years we have worked together to develop a framework through the Neighborhood Planning Initiative, through my community cabinets. I have a community cabinet. I have a Mont Bello leadership cabinet. I have a next generation cabinet. We are very prominent on Facebook and social media. We send an electronic newsletter out once a month with all sorts of information. There are plenty of ways to get involved. We need more voices in the equation, and I'm going to continue the work that we've started in partnership around affordable housing, workforce development, improving our healthy food options, and closing those transportation and mobility gaps, and really hearing from our neighborhood. And I would be honored to earn folks' vote on May 7th, because it really is your community, and we want to make it a strong place to live, work, and play.
Woo. Thank you, ladies. Oh, my goodness. You know, I know what it's like to run. And so thank you both so for running and putting yourselves out there. It is not an easy task on both your families, on yourselves, and just putting yourself out there. I know as a resident of District 11, I appreciate you both for putting yourselves out there. It takes a lot, and it is not easy. It is painful. But we so need this process, and our community deserves it. So thank you both so very much for standing in the gap and deciding to put your hat in the ring.
Thank you, Jose.
Thank you for the opportunity,
yes. Appreciate
Jose.
It.
Thank you to all the listeners. Yeah. This has been a wonderful show. We will be back with you in 2 weeks, where we have the mayoral debate and candidate forum taking place on April 30th. You will want to turn in. Until then, as I always say, be kind, love one another, and give hope, because we are the hope for the future. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Peace.